Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure as always. You got, you're going to be glad you hung out with me, and you're going to be glad you just tuned in if you just did that, because we got Dr. William Dunkelberg back on the show. Bill is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a good friend of mine and yours, even if you didn't know it. He's chief economist at the National Federation of Independent Business, has been doing that now for a long time. He is a professor of economics at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia. And for decades now, he's been talking to you, people just like you, small business owners just like you, all across the country, every month, asking them critical questions about how things are going in the economy for them. And he's been compiling all that information into a very smart and highly organized report on what small businesses think about the economy, the trends in the economy, the financial economic trends in the economy. And we're the happy recipients of that report every month, and Bill's here to talk to us about it right now. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Jim, great to be here as always.
It's good to have you back. I'm not seeing a lot of happy faces on this report this month. I mean, it's not horrible, but it's not a lot of happy stuff.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not soaring, if that's that's what you mean. But at the high altitude level, the important point is it went up.
Yeah.
It didn't go down.
Yeah. We don't like the number, but we like the trend.
Exactly. Before you can turn up, you have to bottom. You know, so it looks like we bottomed in April. We got 6-point gain on the index in April, and we put on another couple of points in May. So the first message was, hey, we're not going to set a new record low. We're not going to beat the 1980 second quarter number, which was 20 points below the average. It was terrible, but we were close. I mean, the record low is 80.1, and we were at 81 in March, so we were just 9-tenths of 1 point away from setting a new record.
A new low, which we didn't do.
Right.
And that was set, what, in 74? Or?
No, it was 1980 second quarter. GDP fell at 9% annual rate. Boom.
Right. That was when we had 21.5% prime rate and
15% inflation.
It was a great time. Yeah, I remember those days. I was borrowing money in those days at those kinds of rates.
17% mortgage and you were happy.
Holy mackerel. Well, thankfully I didn't have to do that, but
I did that.
Oh, you did? No, I didn't. I had a mortgage that was already locked in, but I had enough other money out there that I didn't skate by unscathed at all. But your report did go up a couple of points, as you say, and so that's good. We like the trend, but when you break down the individual things, there's still a lot of caution out there, isn't there?
Well, there is. This is following the usual track. I mean, the index has 10 components. 9 out of 10 were either unchanged or up. That's good. Unfortunately, 2 of the unchanged components were job openings and plans to create new jobs. They did not change. They were flat, but didn't go down. But you know, we were really looking for a turnaround there in the labor market. But the first things that went up were the expectations variables. The percent of owners who thought the economy would be better 6 months from now than it is today.
Right.
The percent who think now is a good time to expand. The percent who think real sales will be higher, and therefore they're going to have to order inventory and they're going to have to do capital spending. So capital spending plans went up. Not much, but it went up. And, of course, plans to add to inventory, send some orders out there to our factories and so on, that went up. So, you know, it's the usual kind of recovery that we expect to see.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and of course, like we said, I've been telling my audience that they still need to operate for survival for 2009. But I've also, for a couple of 3 months now, I've been reminding them that the economy is turning a little bit, that the light at the end of the tunnel that we're seeing now is not, doesn't look like another freight train coming at us. It looks like it might be a real light. And to start planning for success, operate for survival, but plan for success.
Exactly. You know, there's still, I think, you know, a lot of kind of bumps in the road ahead of us here, especially in the financial system. There's going to be, you know, surprises out there. But you know, overall, the economy is going to start moving ahead. Now, if you're in the Florida economy or if you're in the California economy,
right,
you know, a few places like that, or right, if you're in Michigan, mm-hmm, you know, life is going to be tough for a while.
For a while.
So you do have to plan. You really have to manage for survival there. You don't spend a dime you don't need. You're very careful.
You can't be billed for something you don't buy. That's one thing to remember. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I need to walk on the wire just to catch my breath. I don't know how or where, but I'm going. It's all that I have left.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you very much for using it. Check out my blog. Check out, which, by the way, there's a brand new post on my blog titled Small Business and Social Media and the Tour de France. I've combined all three of those into one blog post. So check it out when you get a chance. I think you'll find it interesting. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which we'll send you every Sunday afternoon by email, get you ready for the week ahead. And then, of course, we've got archives articles, hundreds and thousands of those, and hundreds of Brain Trust members. My knowledge base is there, askjim.biz. So whatever you need, you got 5 seconds or 15 minutes, we got something you can read or listen to. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. And we're talking about the recent Small Business Economic Trends Report that he's published and compiled. And, Bill, we were talking about, you were talking about the indicators. Everything is 9 out of 10 of the elements are up, even though we don't like, they're not up big time, the overall all increase. It's baby steps, though, isn't it? I mean, we don't need to leap out of where we are right now. We need to very deliberately, with a great deal of discipline, grow ourselves out of this, don't we?
Well, I think you have to be careful and not jump, you know, get ahead of things. Obviously, you make big commitments for money and then customers don't show up, then that's how you get into trouble. So
right,
you have to be careful. And the economy is not one kind of you know, big homogeneous blob. It's very different from region to region. So you really have to, you can watch the national news if you want, but you really have to pay close attention to what's going on, you know, in your market, because it'll be, you know, we'll have states a year from now that are still in recession,
right,
while most of the other states are booming ahead. So Texas is doing great. California's going to be in the tank. And so you have to be aware of the unevenness of this recovery, because it will be very uneven. So
listening to the national news and even the reports like yours, you have to look around your four walls and look around in your community and see what's going on, don't you?
Exactly. So you have to really watch the local market, and you know, most small business owners get the bulk of their revenue, you know, from in a 5-mile sweep around their operation.
Right.
So that's really what you have to pay attention to. How's my local economy doing? And you can get lots of information, you know, from the government about how states are doing, for example. You can check the employment reports by state and by city, so you can see if there's growth. You know, go to BLS.gov for all of that. Go to BEA, Bureau of Economic Analysis.gov, and see what's going on with the GDP numbers by state and lots of other information. So you can find out a fair amount about how your local market's actually doing.
I'll tell you another thing to do, and this is just shoe leather stuff, folks. This is management by walking around. And that is ask your customers how their customers are doing. If you're doing business with consumers, ask them how the company they work for is doing. If you're doing business with business to business, ask those businesses how their customers are doing, and you can sort of get an idea there. But you know, one of the things, Bill, I've been saying for a long time now, is that in 2009, you don't want to get too far out on the leading edge, as you said, as you indicated a minute ago, about you know, about not buying stuff that you don't know you can sell, because as you know, Bill, just a hair's breadth on the other side of the leading edge is the bleeding edge.
That's right.
And so you don't want to. This is not a time to. This is not a year to take a flyer, is it?
Right. So we have to be careful. But you know, the I do think that overall, if once we, you know, as we start looking back over the last 6 months, you know, we have kind of collectively overdone our cost cutting. Not that that's bad, you know, because you know, better to clean everything up, mm-hmm. you know, and then move ahead. That's what recessions unfortunately do. But that's a very healthy thing for the private sector. Unfortunately, the government, of course, is preventing a lot of cleanup by
right.
saving people who need to be cleaned up.
Right.
We won't mention any car companies.
Unnatural behavior, really, isn't it?
But nonetheless, you know, that's the, you know, the, so that's good. You know, when times get tough, you really look around your firm and say, okay, do I need that? Do I, should I really be doing it this way? Is there a better way to fix this? You start asking those questions that in good times you're too busy, which is great, but
right.
you're too busy really to pay attention to those things.
In the labor markets, what did you folks tell you?
Well, they're not planning to add a whole lot of jobs yet, so,
yeah.
you know, that's
a lagging indicator, isn't it?
It is a lagging indicator. I kind of am expecting it to really come back a lot faster this time for just the point that we just made, that we really have overdone it.
Yeah.
We have never seen in the 35-year history of the survey reductions in employment per firm like mm-hmm. we have seen over mm-hmm. the last three
large
quarters.
Large and small companies.
Yeah, large and small. So, you know, maybe we let too many people go. But again, that's a chance to rebuild. Now, the market, it's easy to find talent out there now compared to what it was a year ago, et cetera. So what you now you have a chance again to say, okay, now that the economy is coming back, I'll be getting more business. How should I staff up for that? Now I can find some really good quality people for the position, hire them, and, you know, start looking. And when the opportunity comes to hire, take one
yeah.
on.
Now, capital spending has kind of gone sideways, hasn't it?
It has not done well, but again, that's the, you know, that's the most postponable thing that we have. So
mm-hmm.
in an uncertain time, you don't buy new equipment that you really don't need yet. You don't expand your facility when your customer base is shrinking because of the recession, et cetera. You hang on to the cash, and that's
mm-hmm.
what all of us are doing, and that's a wise thing to do. The problem is, of course, collectively, if we all stop spending, then GDP goes down, and
right.
That's the nature of the beast. But it's pretty clear that we'll start swinging up now, and we'll start making those outlays because, you know, we're in business for the long haul here,
right.
not the
right.
short run.
Absolutely. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back. When we come back, I want to talk about inflation. Is that something we need to be worried about in the offing? Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
I was a dandy. Yeah, my God.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. Bill, your report is on our website. We're very proud and honored to be able to post it there. Thank you for letting us do that. But also, they can find it at NFIB.com and also another website. Go ahead and give it to us.
Right, smallbus, not B-I-Z, smallbiz.com. Smallbus.com.
So check that out.
Oh, no, but .org. Oh, my God.
Smallbus.org, right?
.org, yeah.
.org, yeah.
Thank
okay.
you. It's early in the morning.
I know. Hey, let's get back to the inflation thing. I've been saying for some time in my dangerous, you know, I'm a frustrated economist, Bill, as you know. It makes me dangerous. But my instincts tell me that we're headed for a boatload of inflation over the next 2 or 3 to 5 years. What do you think?
I think that if I had to make a bet, I'd say that it's more likely that you're right than that we don't get anything. That it's the political nature of our system to be inclined toward inflation, because basically the government always wants to overspend its budget. And eventually, as independent as the Fed tries to be,
right.
it gets compelled to essentially monetize that debt. And, of course, I think you're right in pointing out that the pressure is going to be huge now, especially if the rest of the world decides they don't want to help us out anymore.
Right.
And you know, we can't fault them for not doing that. I mean, we borrow $1 trillion worth of savings from other countries because we aren't saving ourselves, and shame on us for that. But, you know, if China says, you know what, we're not just buying treasures anymore, we're going to use the money at home, well, that will mean that we have to finance this incredible load of treasury debt domestically. So you and I have to start ponying up instead of the Chinese. And that means we can't spend it on other stuff like expanding our business once the government starts offering us, you know, 12% coupons or 15% coupons on 10-year treasuries, which they did in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the inflation we had.
But, so, Bill, but if we have inflation as of right now, it won't be because small business owners are causing it, will it?
No, not at all. You know,
they're lowering prices.
We have far more people. We have over 20 percentage points more small business owners report cutting prices than raising. Virtually nobody's raising prices out there.
Yeah.
And so in the near term, the inflation pressure won't be there because the economy is very slow. We have a lot of excess capacity. We can all have more customers without hiring any more employees or doing anything else. So no pressure on prices in the short run, but, of course, the Fed has essentially doubled the amount of money available to the banks out there to make loans. And once that process starts, that's when money creation starts, and that's when the inflation pressure comes.
That's right. Well, but that puts downward pressure. The inability to raise prices or having to cut prices puts downward pressure on profits too, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, profits are looking grim. We ask owners, you know, how are your profits in the last 3 months compared to the prior 3 months? You know, you've got over 40 percentage points saying down, not up. So profit trends have not yet turned around, but you can see what's going on out there. We are cutting prices like crazy, so sales reports of sales gains are also negative because even if we're selling the same amount of stuff, we're selling it at a lower price, so revenues are falling, and of course that's all really heading down to the bottom line these days.
Mm-hmm. Bill, we've got about a minute and a half left. I'd like for you to weigh in on as you know, the government is in the process of completely reorganizing and restructuring, resetting the regulatory environment for just about everything. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's clear that the regulators didn't get the job done like they should have. And some of our regulators don't appear to be as tough as other regulators. So if you kind of look at, you know, there are a number of financial regulators. There's the SEC, the Office of Thrift Supervision, which has had lots of banks fail under its watch. And I mean, and so the FDIC has lost a lot of money through OTS failures. And then you have the Fed and the FDIC itself. And, you know, so I think that, you know, you ought to have more than one regulator. Competition is good even amongst regulators. So,
But the Fed is going to have more power than it's ever had before. Do you think that's a good thing?
They are, and I don't know whether that's going to be good or not. You know, I don't like government having power, period.
What are the chances that they're going to overreach, Bill?
Well, I think the odds are high we're going to make mistakes. You know, the administration is trying to get stuff done as fast as it can. It's promised all this stuff, and it's trying to deliver. Well, when you run this fast with such complicated issues, you're going to make mistakes, and you can count on some of them being big-time mistakes.
Unfortunately, maybe catastrophic. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Good to be with you.
Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be after the news. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.